Good morning, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Napa's KVON 1440 AM radio. This is the Farmers Fresh Hour, brought to you by our sponsor, American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture, and featuring the St. Helena Farmers Market. And you can also stream the show live on kvon.com. My name is Wendy Strawn. I'm the board president for the St. Helena Farmers Market, and we've been hard at work preparing for our 33rd season of the market, which starts tomorrow. I have three very special guests with me this morning. I have April Morrow from sales from Sonoma Design Apparel, Umberto Esquiedo, the agricultural commissioner with Napa County, and our own market educator, Arwen Gallenkamp, for the market. So, for those of you that have not visited us, and you must come out tomorrow, the market runs every Friday, May through October, 7:30 to noon. We are a certified farmers market based at beautiful Crane Park. It's the west side of the high school. As you come into St. Helena, you'll see the tractor sign boards outside, and it's just a beautiful location amongst the vineyards and redwood trees. So come and make a whole outing of it, and it's looking beautiful in all the spring colors here. So our market manager, Ed Smith, has put together a great team of vendors, including both your favorite long-serving vendors and some new ones. New growers making their debut at the market this week include Forney Farm and Nursery, and they, as you know, specialize in growing high-quality vegetables, culinary herbs, and edible flower plants. You met on the radio a few weeks ago Miranda Forney, who is setting up her new company. And another wonderful new vendor we're delighted to have with us is Stemple Creek Ranch. They're selling organic grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, as well as humanely raised pork. And for those of you that keep asking me, yes, Zuckerman's Farm will be there. They sell wonderful asparagus and potatoes. And for the tomato lovers, we have Gavel's Farm there with their delicious hothouse tomatoes. If you come early, come and have breakfast and enjoy breakfast tacos made to order from our new food purveyor, Ray Ray's Tacos. And don't forget to bring your knives and garden tools to Sharpening by the Perfect Edge, who will be at the market on the first and third market every month. So we are ready to go. Make sure you come and see us tomorrow. So I am delighted to welcome on the radio this morning April Morrow. She's responsible for outside sales for this wonderful company, Sonoma Design Apparel. But before we speak with April, we thought we'd better start by explaining exactly where do they fit in with regards to the St. Helena Farmers Market. So to do this, let's go back 10 years when we started. It seems like just 5 years ago now, but it's a good 10 years ago when the market started looking for a project that really involved the community, and particularly we wanted the kids, that highlighted the importance of farmers and healthy eating and enabled us to promote the market and ideally make some funds that could go back to our 501c3 and the educational programs. So this resulted in the launch of our annual art competition for grade 3 to 5 St. Helena students in 2010. And we are so incredibly grateful to all the principals and the teachers of the St. Helena schools and all the parents of the young artists for their tremendous support of the competition. So what we do is each year we ask the students to draw artwork to support a particular slogan, and then we ask them related questions. And, of course, the teachers can pick up on the questions as part of the schoolwork. So this year the theme was Farmers Rock, and the grand prize winner was this wonderful student, Nicholas. Nicholas is grade 5 at the St. Helena Montessori School. We had 79 students participating, and all of their artwork will be displayed at the market's general store every week throughout the market's season. And they are all well worth having a look at. Just a fantastic job. So what we do is that Nicholas, as a grand prize winner, received a T-shirt and cap with his artwork on, plus some other goodies. All of the participants received like a pencil case with his artwork, a certificate with their own artwork, and a $2 wooden coin to spend at the market, which, of course, we'd like them to spend on something really healthy, but I suspect that kettle corn probably benefits from all of those. But never mind. We don't mind. So choosing the winning artwork is actually fairly difficult because they're always so very good, but it's only one part of the process. Then, of course, we have to take the artwork and recreate it on various items of merchandises to sell at the general store. So we started looking, and none of us in the farmers market had been involved in merchandise before, so we started looking for a company that could help us and heard great things about Sonoma Design Apparel. And they have been looking after us for the last 10 years. I'm sure for April it probably feels like 50, but it's the last 10 years, and have proved to be a spectacular partner for this project. They are just so kind to us. And we are very, very grateful to Eddie Brasher, who's the CEO and president, and also, of course, to April and the entire team for all their help. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to ask April to tell us all about Sonoma Design Apparel. Good morning. You're listening to Napa's KVON 1440 AM radio. This is the Farmer's Fresh Hour, brought to you by our sponsor, American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture, and featuring the St. Helena Farmer's Market. You can also stream the show live on kvon.com. My name is Wendy Shawn. I'm board president for the St. Helena Farmer's Market, and I have with me in the studio today April Morrow for Sonoma Sales from Sonoma Design Apparel, Umberto Izquierdo, Agricultural Commissioner for Napa County, and Arwen Gallenkamp, our market educator for the St. Helena Farmers Market. So, April, firstly, thank you for making the journey. April's come all the way over the hills here from Santa Rosa. So tell us where you are located and what your company does.
So Sonoma Design Apparel is located in Santa Rosa. It's at 3510 Airway Drive. But we actually also have a second showroom. It's Napa Valley Clothing Company off Jefferson Street in Napa. So both companies are owned by the same family. It's a family-owned company. So Eddie Brasha owns the company, and we have the two different showrooms. And we do we specialize in apparel decorating. So it's basically custom promotional items as well as logo wear for businesses.
And I have to say, when you visit Sonoma Design and you see the boxes of items ready to be shipped out, it is just a who's who of local companies. So, April, tell us, give us a sense of the type of companies that you help.
So we're really lucky enough to have some big companies, larger breweries like Lagunitas Brewing Company, Russian River, as well as a lot of wineries. So we're really lucky to have big, great accounts like that. But we also specialize in smaller accounts, so schools, churches. You could even be a family reunion who comes in and needs 12 caps for their trip to Disneyland. So we want to help everybody.
And I know that you obviously cover Sonoma and Napa. Do you go further afield from that, or just basically those two counties?
We go further, and we have a couple we have a couple companies out of state actually as well, and we have a sales rep who lives in Sacramento, so he's kind of trying to get that area as well.
And so when a client comes to you, they may either have the logo or the artwork already finalized like we do, or they're going to ask your help in producing it. They might just come with a blank piece of paper and give you an idea, and then your artists and graphic people will help. So one of the, certainly from our perspective, one of the challenging steps for a client is to actually choose the actual item that you wish to sell or give out or give as a friend or as a gift. And your showroom at your office has an incredible display of promotional items, which is very helpful. And then on your website, SonomaDesignApparel.com, you have sample catalogs which people can browse through. And most importantly, April and her colleagues obviously have tremendous experience with specific items of merchandise and can advise accordingly. So I might say to April, you know, well, I think this year we really like to do a visor or something. And she'll say, you know, with that artwork, it won't fit in. So it's have a look on the website before you meet. It just gives you a sense of what's out there. When you come to this wonderful showroom, you'll see all these great goodies. And then April will be able to help you. So putting artwork and logos onto various items obviously falls into two categories. One is screen printing and the other is embroidery, both of which are done at the Santa Rosa facility. So, April, having seen how you do this, it's incredibly clever and skill work. I certainly had no idea. So let's start with embroidery. How does the embroidery work?
So the embroidery machines are computer ran. We use files that are loaded into the computer, but you have to have a person to operate them. So they have. We first load the file. We load the disk into the machine, and then we have to pick the different colors that will be ran. So colors are ran one by one, and we have to load each piece. So each garment is loaded onto the machine, and the machine actually tells which color is going to go where, but we are there to make sure everything is straight and all the items and colors are loaded where they need to be.
And I think you have, if I remember, you have something like 500 different stock colors to choose from.
There are a lot of thread yes. colors to pick.
So luckily for me, April helps make that decision. We just give her the overall. I don't think I could ever choose between 500 colors. When you see these machines working, it is just so clever.
Yes.
It really is.
And we're lucky enough to have Dominic Brasha, which is the owner's oldest son,
right.
be our embroidery manager. So he's very detailed. He's very... detail-oriented, so he's very helpful in that department.
That's great. So, for example, so I might say April's going to please put a St. Helena Farmer's Market on a logo embroidered on an apron. So you will do, you will invite me back to your showroom so I can actually have a look at a sample sew out before you start producing.
Yes. We definitely want to have clients involvement in each project, so we'll first do a sew out for you guys to approve, where you guys can come in and take a peek, make sure all the thread colors are correct, and then it's really fun to see you guys get excited when you see your
yes.
project come to life.
And it is amazing how they do it. It is an exact replica, and especially we'll talk about our art competition in a moment, but you can imagine with the kids drawing. And April and Sonoma Design are able to replicate it absolutely, and then to show it down the road to the kids is just wonderful. And it is a tremendous sight to see. If I recall, I think certainly if you go on to your website, April, you can actually see there are some videos showing some of this in
Yes, we love
action.
To show
right.
Live action videos.
Yes, there you go. We should have you on there, April. We should have you on there doing some as well. So one side was embroidery. And then the other side, we have screen printing. So for people out there that might not know what we're talking about, let's go through that.
So screen printing is actual ink on garments. So each color is laid individually. So so the garments are laid on the pallets, and they'll go one by one to different ink rotations to lay out your garment design. So people come to us, and sometimes, like you mentioned, they'll have their artwork, and sometimes they won't. So our artist, Chris, will either redraw your artwork, and we'll have your approval, and then we can go into press make that design come to life.
So you must end up with all these palettes. So in our case, we might have, for the farmer's market, we might have at least 3 or 4 different designs.
Yes.
So you end up with a palette for each design. So how do you store these?
So they're actually created in screens, and then we have to take your screen and turn it into they're actually started with films, and then we have to take your film and turn it into a screen. So once your screen is loaded onto our machine, that is what helps determine what color lays down first, second, third. After we're done, we actually blow them out. So we turn them back into a blank screen, and your films go back onto file.
Isn't that clever? Wow. I didn't know that. I'm going to go and look at that the next time I'm up there. And just as with the embroidery, April, you will invite us back in to have a look for a test run. Very rarely do we make any adjustments, but it's always just nice to see.
Yes.
Isn't it? And yes. Certainly Sonoma Design doesn't want to print off thousands of things without the customer
we
signing
love
off on
clients
it.
Approvals
yes,
for sure.
I bet you do. I bet your financial controller likes that
yes.
too. So I mentioned just now that your website sonomadesignapparel.com, it shows photos of the process, and then the finished items can either be picked up at your facility or you'll ship them out to the client. And then, certainly in our case, reorders, because what happens, we go live tomorrow at the farmer's market, we'll start selling lots of stuff, and we can just contact April either by phone or email, and we'll just keep reordering. Everything's in the system.
Yes.
And off we go.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. Exactly. We like easy peasy things. So, to help people with their planning, and we're going to talk through the process for the St. Helena Farmer's Market in just a second, what is the normal lead-in time for you to produce all of the items?
We ask for 2 weeks, start to finish. So once you give us approval on the garments to be ordered and approval on the art to move forward, we ask for 2 weeks.
And I think that's very reasonable, considering because you have a huge client list as well. So for the listeners who are thinking about making an order, what are the minimum numbers that you work with?
For screen print, it's 36 pieces, and pieces can be mixed together, so you can do a t-shirt or a hoodie to create your 36 pieces. For process prints, which is a different process of a screen print, those are a little bit more difficult. A lot more work goes into setting up that process. We ask for 72 pieces, and then with embroidery, it's just 12.
And as April was saying, that the great thing for the those of you out there that are looking at smaller orders, you can mix and match. So if we use it, if it's the same, in our case, we use the same size logo and embroidery for a number of items. So if it's a minimum order of 12, we can order 4 aprons and 4 this and 4 that to make up the 12, which makes certainly, from a client perspective, things a lot easier. So let's go back to our man, Nicholas, and his wonderful winning artwork. You have to come and see it, everybody. It is just the best. So the schools received the ground rules for the art competition at the end of January. We then picked up the artwork in mid-February and then had the difficult task of choosing the winning artwork. And then we met with April on February 26th to hand over the artwork. And I'm sure April is just waiting here in fear and trepidation as to what we're going to be giving her each time, because some of it's very complex. So here they go again. And we are, as I mentioned before, we are a particularly challenging client for April because we need lots of small items spread over a range of products compared with, for example, a winery that might order 2,000 or 3,000 of one item. But they're very patient at Sonoma Design. So, April, here we come. We hand over the artwork, and that's Nicholas's original artwork. So what happens then?
So I will give the original drawing to my art department. There's two different entities in that. So there's screen printing and there's embroidery, which we talked about. So we first have to have Chris redraw the artwork so it looks exactly like Nicholas's original design. And that will be the screen printing process. And then the embroidery process, we actually have to digitize your logo. So we take the logo, we send it out for digitizing, and then they give me the products back. So we'll have sew-outs and we'll have mock-ups to show you recreating the amazing design you guys came up with.
It's all very easy, easy. And again, April will come backwards and forwards us just via email if there are any questions or if you want to alter anything, etc., etc. So that's super. So we then pick up the items for presentation to the schools, and you can imagine the excitement of the winning student and all of his school friends and parents and neighbors to see his artwork suddenly transformed onto all of these wonderful new items. So you can get a preview of all the winning artwork on our website, sthelenafarmersmarket.org, and of course we have all these items with Nicholas's artwork for sale at the general store. For all of our listeners, we just cannot recommend Sonoma Design Apparel highly enough. They have been so very supportive of this project and have handled every challenge we gave them with tremendous professionalism. So April will be very happy to help you. That's April Morrow on 707-578-4739. And we have Darcy Barbosa, who's there at the Napa Valley Clothing Company, 707-287-8271. April, thank you very much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to speak to Umberto Izquierdo, Agricultural Commissioner for Napa County. Good morning. My name is Wendy Strawn. I'm Board President for the St. Helena Farmers Market. I have with me in the studio today April Morrow, outside sales for Sonoma Design Apparel, Umberto Izquierdo, Agricultural Commissioner for the Napa County, and Arwen Gallenkamp, our super-duper market educator for the St. Helena Farmers Market. So we are extremely honored to welcome to the show Umberto Izquierdo, who returned to the Napa County Agricultural Commissioner's Office in October 2018. I'm going to give you your full title, Umberto, as Agricultural Commissioner and Sealer of Weights and Measures for Napa County. And my understanding that as dictated by the law, this is a four-year assignment appointed by the County Board of Supervisors. So, Umberto, you bring to this very important job a lot of previous experience with the county. So before we talk about your role, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
First of all, let me say thank you for the opportunity to come to speak to your show and speak on your show. It's great to have the opportunity to talk to the citizens and about what we do and what my office does here. So, I came back in October of last year, and after having worked here in Napa for about 14 years, I started my career in the ag department in Yolo County back in 97, and then after that I came to Napa and moved my way up from inspector to deputy agriculture commissioner to the assistant, and then I left for Alameda in 2016 and did about 2 years as agricultural commissioner in Alameda and got the opportunity to come back to Napa last year, and I jumped at the chance to come back and work in this county.
And how super for us to have you back, because you've got, obviously, we have somebody like you in this role with extensive experience in Napa County, so that must make life a lot easier. And you must have seen many changes over the years. We'll get you to talk about that in just a second. So where is your office based?
Our office is... It's 1710 Soskal Avenue. It's kind of close to downtown, but it's not in the county administrative building. It's we're off-site due to space limitations.
Okay.
But we're close to downtown.
Probably much quieter over there.
Than everybody else. And parking is much easier.
There's always a silver lining to something or other. And I have to say, everybody, you have to go onto the website because it is. We'll give you it's countyofnapa.org, and then you'll look for the agricultural site. They have a super website. I learned a lot when I was having a look at it, ready for the show. It has a wealth of information on all aspects of the Agricultural Commissioner's Office. So you have a huge job, Umberto, but in a broad sense, what is your main role?
Our main role is to protect the citizens, the environment, and promote agriculture. We're primarily a regulatory agency that implements, federal, state, and county regulations or ordinances.
So I think you mentioned just earlier that you're responsible from the point that the plants and everything's actually in the ground. You don't get involved in any issues of...
Yeah, so we don't do land use. So we're not the agency that approves, land use or building or grading or planting. It's, our responsibility starts once there's something in the ground or just before that. So that's
super.
What we do.
So Napa County obviously currently has a reputation as a premier wine producing region, but as history has shown, it also has a climate and soils capable of producing many types of exceptional agricultural products. So Umberto, in this role, who do you actually report to?
Well, I wear kind of dual hats. I'm appointed by the Board of Supervisors for the county, but to get this position, you have to be licensed by the state Department of Food and Agriculture. So you got to get licenses, and if you don't have a license to be an ag commissioner, you can't be appointed.
Okay. So let's look at some of your specific programs. So tell us about your department's role on pests and diseases.
Yeah, so that's one of our main programs and one of the main concerns that we have. We try to keep new exotic and destructive pests, organisms, from coming into the county and into California. Ours is a statewide system. Every county has an agricultural commissioner, and so we try to keep pests out to prevent, loss, damage to agricultural production. So an important thing is even though we produce grapes here, we don't just look for pests that damage grapes. We look for pests that damage all of California, could damage all of California agriculture.
So I know that you have a comprehensive insect trapping program, and additionally, I think you conduct inspections of plants entering the country, as you said, from throughout the state. But what specifically are some of the invasive species that can harm the crops here?
Yeah, so Napa, obviously being a wine grape producing area, it's very concerned. We're concerned with pests that would damage grape production, and so glassy wing sharpshooter is a pest that we look for. It's here in California and other parts of the state, and our main job is to try to keep it out of Napa so that it doesn't get here and transmit diseases, because that's what it does. This insect transmits diseases that damage and kill the grapevines. Vine mealybug is another insect that is really detrimental, or it hampers production of grapes here. And we do have that pest here, and we try basically to try to maintain it in certain areas and educate growers on how to deal with that pest to keep populations down.
Because we see a lot of signs for the glassy winged sharpshooter. How do they create these names? But I'm laughing. It's not a serious issue at all, but it's an unusual thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously there's all these pests have scientific names, but then it becomes a very convoluted process. So we try to pick the most common name, something that would be that's known by most people. But even it's just a matter of what's the most commonly used name for these pests.
And you must work obviously very closely with all the vineyards and the farmers and all this.
So we have a comprehensive kind of informational campaign to let people know about keeping these pests out, specifically the glassy wing sharpshooter. And we do a lot of outreach. Work with all local landscapers and obviously all producers who are going to be planting new grapevines. We work with them to keep to let us know when things come in, so we can go and inspect them before they get in the ground.
Great. Thank you so much. And what about pesticide safety? I know that's an important aspect for you.
Yeah, so we are the primary agency that regulates the agricultural, industrial, and institutional use of pesticides. And so obviously people think about pesticides used in agriculture, but pesticides are used in other settings as well. You know, think about hospitals and restaurants and the like. They use a lot of things to disinfect and keep things clean, and so those are also pesticides, and so we do work with those and deal with those. But we do a lot of training and outreach. We start to educate the people that we regulate as to how to be compliant, how to be responsible, and we do inspections. We actually go out into the field and do unannounced inspections in the vineyards, and if somebody's applying something or if there's workers in the vineyard, we'll go and check, make sure that they are, have been properly trained, have been properly informed, have clean water, soap, and towels to basically wash up when need to, and then also go out and also do, like I said, unannounced inspections when there's actual applications, and we look that it's happening in a safe manner that's protecting the public, the environment, and the workers. And if there's something that's not going right, we can stop the application and tell them, you need to stop right now, it's not unsafe. And then we have other tools to promote compliance.
That's great. Certainly as a consumer, I think we're very happy to hear all of this. So a key component of your department's oversight is food production and sales. So let's bring it straight back to us now. How is your department involved with farmers markets?
Yeah, so we regulate, or we run the program that certifies producers. So a certified producer is somebody who produces something and sells it directly to the consumer. And so that's the difference between the certified farmers market. That means that people that are selling there are producing what they're selling. They're not going to a wholesaler, buying and then reselling it. They're producing what they're selling. It's a more direct way for farmers to be able to interact with the public. And so we certify those people. The people that are producers here in county will go and check their growing grounds, make sure that what they're telling us that they're going to sell, actually they have in the ground. If they're from out of county, then other counties, that commissioners go out and do that. We also go to the farmers markets and, check that they have their certificates. There's supposed to be, paperwork that follows them so that, there's no cheating on this thing. So we kind of do that. We check also for organic production. So people with, a lot of people that sell at the farmers market, organic is a legal term that has a legal definition, and they have to meet that. And so if they say that, then we can, we'll ask them for documentation showing that. We also do random sampling of produce. So we have the authority to random sample produce, and then we send them to the state lab for testing. So if it's organic producer, we say, this is an organic produce, and so the state lab tests for products that are not legal, that are illegal for organic production. And if they find something, then they refer back to us, and then we follow up with the grower and take appropriate action to take them off the market because they're not being truthful in there.
I think we're very happy again that you do that, and hence when we say that we're a certified farmers market, that's where it all comes from.
Yes.
Thank you, Umberto. Yeah. So I know, I'm just going to mention one thing quickly, is that, because again, go on to their website, because another aspect, another program they have is all to do with wildlife services. So if you have any problems with the odd raccoon, a beaver, the odd mountain lion or two, or bear, or damaging birds, you may go on to their website, and they have lots of great information for listeners who, and contact numbers and info. So that's where you're going to go. Umberto, you've got obviously a lot of information to share with the growers and residents of Napa County. One method is obviously your monthly newsletter, so people can sign up for that on your website.
Yeah,
yes. But tell us about the local food advisory council meetings. I think the next one is scheduled tomorrow.
It's actually June 3rd.
Oh, June 3rd. June 3rd. I'm sorry.
No problem. Yeah. Yes, so the local food advisory council was set up by the Board of Supervisors probably about 8-10 years ago now. And it's a group of citizens that get assigned to this council, and they try to address issues related to food production, food security, and it's a forum for people to bring those issues to the council, and then the council can do research. Our staff, our department is kind of their administrative staff, and we help them with doing research and bringing information back to them, or if they want to talk to an expert about something, we'll make arrangements. And then they, from that research, they can make recommendations to the board to try to, promote one particular a program, or just to bring attention to the board on issues like, I know we work with Health and Human Services on the issues of kind of food insecurity and food deserts that we have in Napa, and so that's kind of their role. It's a forum for bringing in information.
And where are the meetings held?
The meetings are held in our office, 1710 Soskal Avenue. We have a conference room, and that's usually where they meet.
Perfect. Thank you.
And they can go to the site. And there's a local food advice. There's a local food site that they can go to, and link and get a lot of information there too.
Thank you very much. So, gosh, this is a huge job you have, Umberto. How many staff do you have?
We have about 27 full-time staff, but inspectors out in the field, we have 7 inspectors that go out and do all the inspections in the for the pesticide safety, for the farmers market, for the weights and measures. We have 4 permanent aides or trappers that help us with some of the other things that we do, and then during the season, we hire about 15 seasonal trappers that do all the traps for looking for all the invasive species.
Yes. Yeah. Gosh. And if somebody is interested in pursuing a career in your sort of area, who do they contact?
All of our jobs are advertised through the county HR site. But most people that do this type of work have some kind of science background. Obviously, you have to have an interest to be outdoor because a lot of our work is outdoors. so, yeah, and it's outdoors all the time, rain or shine, mud or dust.
You're out there.
Yeah, we're out there. So, yeah, so have an interest in that. Generally some kind of science degree, biology, environmental science, chemistry, or extensive coursework at the college level in kind of those areas.
Thank you. I think it's a fascinating, and especially in a county like ours.
Yeah,
where it's just so lovely. Well, gosh. So just before we let you go here. What can the general public do to help you achieve your department's goals?
One of the main things is we really promote people to buy locally. We especially plant material, so we inspect all plants that come into the county before they go out for for sale. So we really encourage people to buy local. I mean, I know with our mobility that we have here, it's easy to go to Solano County or other counties.
Yes.
and maybe have access to some plant material there, but they don't have the same level of scrutiny that we do, just because we are more concerned with the pests for grapevines. So we spend a lot of resources, county resources, on trying to keep the pest out. And so buying locally assures that the stuff has been looked at and it's clean and safe to plant here.
So everybody, you have to come to our farmer's market tomorrow.
Yes.
It's all there. We've all been approved. Thank you. And the very last thing is, what are the major challenges that your department faces in today's world?
I think probably the main thing is ever-changing regulation. I think that's always an issue, especially for the regulated community. Obviously cannabis production is something that's kind of popping up. The county does have a provision on it, but there is apparently an initiative that's going to be up on the ballot to basically voter-driven initiative that will, if passed, and allow cultivation here, and we'll see what happens. So yeah, so that those have the things. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to have you back, and better tell us more on that.
Sure.
Tell us more. Well, thank you very much for taking the time. I know we know how busy you are, and gosh, we certainly learned a lot, and we're delighted to have you back in the Ag Commissioner's office, and we look forward to welcome you to the farmers market. So we're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, we're going to speak to Arwen Gallenkamp about the great program she has in store for us at the market. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to Napa's KVON 1440 AM radio. This is the Farmer's Fresh Hour, brought to you by our sponsor, American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. And featuring today, St. Helena Farmer's Market, which opens tomorrow for its 33rd season. And you can also stream the show live on kvon.com. My name is Wendy Strawn. I'm board president for the Farmer's Market. And with me in the studio today are April Morrow, outside sales for Sonoma Design Apparel, Umberto Esquiero, Agricultural Commissioner for Napa County, and Arwen Gallenkamp, our market educator for the St. Helena Farmers Market. So we are one of a small number of farmers markets with a full 501c3 nonprofit status due to the exceptional programs that we provide. And we're very grateful to our wonderful sponsors and donors who help make these programs happen. In our last show, you met Ed Smith, our market manager, who probably as we speak now is counting down the hours to opening day tomorrow morning. And the other half of our fabulous team is Arwen Gallenkamp, our market educator. So, Arwen, give us just an overview of what you've lined up for the kids this season.
Well, we have a really pretty wide range of activities for the kids to do. We always have some story times for them on the first and third Fridays, brought to us by Jones Family Vineyards, 9:30 to 10 o'clock each first and third Friday. So that's a fun time. I'll tie that into to each month's theme to make that happen. Then we always have a little bit of a project for kids to do. We'll start out with some seed jars so the kids can put some seeds in and see how they grow and watch the germination process in front of them in their jars. They can come back and check next week and see what it looks like. So we'll start with that. We have some fabulous, we have a really amazing face painter. If anybody came to the market last season, Christina's Fantasy Faces is, she does some really tremendous face painting. So she's got a lizard and Superman and princesses and sparkles. And anyway, it's really fun. And the kids have a really great time. So she'll be at the market June, July, and August. So bring the kids down. And she also is happy to come to any birthday party celebrations that you're having. So that's super fun. I'm looking at getting one of a puppeteer that we've had in the past come back and do a show, as well as Veggie Circus, which is a super fun interactive circus with hula hoops and it's all kind of focused on eating your veggies and enjoying the growing process, etc. So that's a whole lot of fun for the kids, and we mix in various projects, and there's always something for the kids to come look at and do while they're at the market.
So Arwen, so everybody, the kids' booth is on the towards the east side of the farmer's market. You'll see it. You'll see Arwen. And I have to give a shout out for Vegetable Circus. They were with us a few years ago. I thought I was a pretty good hula hooper when I was little, many, many years ago. But they do things with those hula hoops that I could never even begin to imagine. And certainly
it's easier for the kids.
There you go. And the kids' story time is just really cute. We have our own little setup there with our own special chairs and following a monthly theme, Arwen. I think each month you have a different theme, so they'll be constantly changing.
Yes. So we're starting with Seas of Change, and then stay tuned for the birds and the bees.
So this is just, we're primarily at the moment talking about kids that just happen to be passing through the market with their parents. So Arwen, you've been working hard also to bring in local students and kids groups to the market. So tell us a bit about that.
So we, of course, are super lucky. We're, you know, within shouting distance of several of the St. Helena schools, St. Helena High School and St. Helena Elementary. And so we encourage them to bring the kids to market during the school time, to incorporate the farmer's market within their curriculum. And I am happy to set up any kind of special activities that relate to what the teacher is teaching in their curriculum. So kind of some of the favorites are the scavenger hunts, eat a rainbow hunt, find a vegetable that's purple or that's orange or some sensory in projects. So we'll do what does this smell like and what smells like it, and so there's lots of different ways that we can incorporate the farmers and the market into a classroom curriculum for really hands-on and interactive process with the kids. So that's kind of the goal, is to really involve the community. If you've got a classroom and you've got a project, give us a call, send me an email. I would love to have your classes at the farmer's market.
What is your email address?
It's arwen@stlenafarmersmarket.org.
So let's just talk about the scavenger hunts, because it is just so great to see the vendors, all of the vendors, and especially the growers, because obviously the kids tend to stand around and look at all the produce, some of which perhaps they haven't seen before, and the growers are incredibly patient as they describe everything.
Are. It's very nice, because sometimes there's questions, and they have to find out what this is, and so it is really fun to watch the kids interact with the growers.
And we have to do a shout out to the parents. Who and the teachers who chaperone the groups. This can be a lot of kids coming through the market.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work to keep them all under control.
Yes.
Here, but we love having them with us. So that's just a little bit about the kids. How about for the adults, the young at heart?
The young at heart, and the kids are always welcome as well, of course. So so we have a chef demo program, which is sponsored by our fabulous sponsor, Bressler Vineyards, we bring to the market chefs from around the area. I have restaurant chefs, and this year I have a winery chef series, so we've got some winery chefs coming in. We have a professional chef's demo station, we bring in chefs from the area to showcase what they're doing with their projects, with their gardens, with their restaurants, with their wineries, and of course then they make some delicious samples for everybody to enjoy, which is a big bonus for everything. So we will have that generally on the last Friday of each month. So just give you guys a little teaser. We have the Farm to Table students coming in from CIA Greystone, who are in a summer program, so that's fabulous. Our very great supporter and amazing chef, Cindy Paulson from Mustards, will be joining us. I'm not going to tell you when. It's going to be a surprise. We have Oak Avenue Catering coming in to give us a little perspective on that. We have Charlie Appel, who is the special projects manager for the restaurant at Meadowood. So he's going to give us a little insider information on some special projects that he gets from Chef Costo. Then we have Jeff Mosier coming in from Robert Mondavi Winery. Aaron Ramsey, who is the culinary instructor for the students at the St. Helena Montessori School, which is just a really, truly amazing program. They have a full garden. They have goats and chickens, and they make snacks for their school, and they do dinners, and so it's an amazing culinary program for kids. So it's just a little teaser. There's more, and we'll hope to see you at the market for that.
And one of the best things of it all is just having the interaction with the chefs, because they're very happy to talk about, answer questions, and all this good stuff.
It's fun, because if anybody has a question, or if they're like, well, so what about that? And it's a great way to get to know our local chefs.
And then the other very popular series, of course, is our summer lecture series sponsored by Louis and Martini Winery. So I know this is still a work in motion, but give us a little taste.
It's a work in motion, so we're really excited for our first lecture of the season, which is May 25th. We have Michael from The Perfect Edge, who is going to do an interactive knife sharpening demonstration. So if you've got dull knives at home and you don't know how to sharpen them, bring them to the market on May 25th, and he is going to show us how to do a whetstone sharpening. There will be a table where you can actually sharpen your own knives under the tutelage of Michael from The Perfect Edge. So that's really going to be fun. Then we have Jameson Animal Rescue Ranch coming in with Monica Stevens, who's going to talk to us a little bit about what they're doing. It's really exciting. They have lots of things going on, and some custom-made delicious pet treats. So that'll be really fun. And then we have Jessica Minella from FLWR Napa Valley. She has some artisan skincare and perfume products, and she's going to talk about making some of your own in your own home. And then back for the third time, which we're really excited about, Zach Yoder from the he's the culinary garden manager for the restaurant at Meadowood, will be there, and he will talk about, and Charter Oak as well, sorry, Charter Oak, he'll talk about what he does in the garden, and how the interaction works between a four-star chef and the garden manager, and what he grows, and how that works back and forth, and what how that shows up on your plate at a restaurant like the Meadowood, at Restaurant Meadowood. So, and then stay tuned, because our board does several produce tastings throughout the season. So we have some compare and contrasts of the amazing produce, and that's always a super fun interaction with the fabulous board members of the San Luis Farmers Market.
So everybody, listeners can go to the program and events section of our website, and you'll see everything listed in the upcoming events section, or you can sign up for our newsletter. And big thank you to Arwen. This is a lot of work, and we're looking forward to another great year of education at the market. Just before we close, we should also mention that Jameson Animal Rescue Ranch will be at the market tomorrow, so do come by and support them and find out how you can help. Stop by the market's general store and see all those wonderful goodies that April and her team have produced. Other growers who are at the market this week include Arceo Ranch, Devoto Gardens, Far West Fungi, Gotelli Farms, Long Meadow Ranch, Newfell Farms, Sebastopol Berry Farm, so many of them, Thor Farms, Triple T Ranch and Farm, Two University Farms, and V&M Farms. Our growers are absolutely super, and we're very proud of them. We hope today's listeners are going to join us tomorrow at the market. We're located again in beautiful Crane Park, Friday, 7:30 to 12, May to October. Keep up to date by subscribing to our newsletter. You can find that at sthelenafarmersmarket.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. The Napa Farmers Market will be here next week, and Arwen will be back hosting the show on May 16th with more market happenings. Thank you to our wonderful guests and to our listeners, and we'll see you all at the Farmers Market tomorrow. Thank you.